Welcome to a new edition of Game Misconduct. I'm CT, here with Dory.
Hello.
You can follow us on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct, although we check Twitter more often than anything.
Yeah.
That's really, we've whittled it down to one platform. So let's talk about our holiday, Thanksgiving holiday.
Yeah.
You have your non-traditional, traditional for your family.
I do. So anybody that's listened to us for a few seasons now knows that on Thanksgiving, we do a restaurant on Indian Rocks Beach called Jimmy Guana's, who does like a, they do a traditional Thanksgiving meal.
Okay.
But my parents don't really care about Thanksgiving, I guess is a good way to put it. Or what, they just don't want to deal with the mess of the cleaning and all of that. So we've been doing this now for, I have no idea how many years. I really don't know. It's been a lot. It's a long time. And this year we notice it seems to be a popular thing in that neck of the woods because there was a whole lot of other people doing it too.
Well, I think maybe you've cracked the Thanksgiving code because everybody thinks it's a great idea. And then they have to clean up all the dishes and put everything away.
Right. And I mean, it's good. It's good. You get a salad and you get like, they didn't allow Caesar salads this year. But
yeah, romaine, that'll kill you. I'm telling you, it's the kale people. They're the ones who are like, romaine lettuce, it'll kill you because they want to sell more kale.
No, gross.
You know what? My diet of non-lettuce
is paying off now.
It's paying off now.
So you get like gumbo or soup or a salad.
So it's not a traditional Thanksgiving meal?
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. You get turkey and gravy and stuffing.
And gumbo.
Well, because they sell, it's a seafood restaurant.
Right.
So, and you get a green bean casserole and some, I'll be honest, some corn, I don't know what
Soufflé.
It is. I don't know what it is.
But it's delicious.
Horrible.
Oh.
It's the most disgusting thing.
Okay, here.
So I just get extra mashed potatoes.
Clearly, they're not sponsoring this show.
No, it's not
but
good.
But you know what? I think you've probably cracked the code, and I'm very lucky that I've never had to cook on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So I might be doing the same thing next time the family's like, hey, you know what? You get the duties of Thanksgiving, and I'll be like, looks like we're making reservations.
You know
what I'm making? I'm making reservations.
And they give you, you can have like one of three different kinds of pie. You can have pecan, like a slice of pie, key lime, pecan, or pumpkin.
Ooh, okay.
And you get rolls.
Yeah, it's a full meal.
It's a full meal. You just don't have leftovers unless you happen to take it home.
That's what so good on you for Thanksgiving because Christmas is your holiday.
Yeah, that's
like
my
that's
thing.
When you go crazy.
Yeah.
Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays because I love the food so much.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just love a beige plate. It just makes me happy. So I went to Texas to spend it with my dad and my stepmom, and no Thanksgiving leftovers. That was the only thing that stunk.
Oh.
They did send me home with a hunk of ham on Friday morning because I left super, super, super early. And they're like, would you like a ham sandwich to take with you? I'm like, nope, no bread, but I'll take a hunk of ham. So that was the only thing. So that's what I'm bummed about because my favorite part of Thanksgiving
is leftovers.
Is a leftover sandwich. Like you eat at 1 o'clock and then by 5 you're ready for a Thanksgiving sandwich with white bread, like Wonder Bread, stuffing, turkey, put a little cranberry sauce on there, heat up some gravy, slide that thing on there. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And then you take another nap and then you go to bed. But it was good. I had an eventful Thanksgiving.
You did.
I started out in Disney. That's where we did our show last week. And then I jumped on a plane and went to Texas. And then the day before Thanksgiving, I think it was, I fell down the stairs at the townhome that I was staying at. Like all the way down, like Cool Runnings, bobsled, all the way down. So that was fun. And then I got up the next morning and did my first ever 5K. It was like the turkey trot. I walked it. Don't get excited. I walked it. There was no running involved. There was no trotting. There was no trotting.
Was there limping involved a little?
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. Limping involved now.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. No,
you're really struggling.
I'm struggling a little bit, but I got my beige plate with gravy all over everything. So I was happy.
And, you know, you just have to be careful is what you need to do.
Clearly, just wrap me in bubble wrap.
I was about to say that.
But I was watching the game. I watched the Florida game from my bed because I fell right before that game. So I was like, oh. Now's a good time to go lay in bed and watch the Florida game.
Yeah.
That was a crazy game.
They're crazy.
It's high scoring.
Yeah.
Which is good. And we're going to get into it with our first guest. You know, Louis Domingue filling in for Andre Vasilevskiy. You know, we're not going to win those 2-1 games all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. We could, but, you know, Andre Vasilevskiy has big skates to fill.
Yes.
So, you know, we've got to score more. More prolific on scoring. That lets up a little stress on the goaltender. Mm-hmm. If we can score a lot, and we're putting them into the back of the net a lot right now.
Yeah. And we talked about it on last week that we weren't very, you know, we didn't feel as concerned. We felt that there was a little bit of bumps and bruises that are going to learning a little bit of a learning curve because of, you know, and we talked about when Vasilevskiy would fill in for Ben Bishop, it was different. It was different for
the players who play differently.
Right. And so we saw that in
the first like 2 games.
Really, honestly, he played very, very well in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And they are hot.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but to go into Pittsburgh and then Philly and these very difficult places, you know, Nashville.
Yeah, Nashville's tough too.
And I think he's played very, very well.
Oh, absolutely. Florida game, very well. Mm-hmm.
The Chicago game.
There were a couple amazing saves on guys like Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
He got a standing ovation.
And he should have.
At the Chicago game a couple times.
Especially
the 3-on-5.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to get into it with our first guest, Dory. Let's bring them on.
We have Dan Lucas, our very good friend Lucas from News Channel 8, the NBC affiliate. He is one of the busiest media people in Tampa Bay. He's always on, I swear, 24 hours a day shifts. Dan, hey, how can everybody get a hold of you? Because you have one of my favorite Twitters because you are so funny.
it's never a serious Twitter. I give like maybe 5% serious, 95% not serious.
It's kind of snarky.
Yeah. It depends on the mood, really, and how much coffee I've had. You can tell if I've had coffee or not just looking at my tweets, but it's at WFLA Dan, and you can check that out, and also Instagram, WFLA Dan. Yeah, Instagram, newer, bigger, better. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
There's going to be pictures with your snarky comments. I like it.
Yes.
All right, so let's talk about Louis Domingue playing for an injured Andre Vasilevskiy, who last week posted a photo of him and his family outside of the arena. He's in a walking boot. So Louis Domingue, though, really doing a good job backing him up, don't you think?
I think he's done a wonderful job. And you know, he had the typical dilemma with a backup goalie is you have to be ready to go, but you may not play for weeks, and that's hard to do. And so when he got thrown into the starter's role, I think a lot of fans were concerned because, you know, it's not Bazzy.
Right.
He'd come in there and have a good game, and then we won't see him again for, you know, 7 or 8 starts. But now you're going to see him every night. And I think what's happened is like you mentioned, he's gotten into the zone. And he even said, you play 1 game, 2 games, you start to see the puck better, and your mind starts to think as a starter. And I think Louis Domingue's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
He turned out to play very well. And on the, you know, even in the Nashville game that they lost, I thought that as the team was struggling, Domingue hung in there. And, you know, it was a 3-2 game, but it could have been at one point, you know, 4-1, 5-1. But I think Domingue's been playing very well.
Yeah, I liked Domingue, and we were briefly talking about this. We talked about it last week. I said it takes, you know, and CT agrees with me. It wasn't like I was like, oh, and she's like, no. But, you know, it takes a couple games when you're not, like you said, he doesn't get a start 1-2. You know, it's every 7-8 games or something, then boom, he gets a start. It takes a minute to get that chemistry, especially with your, you know, defense and your defensemen and everything. And I think I'm surprised at how fast I feel that chemistry came together for them.
Yeah, I agree. And especially with the defensemen, and they have to learn how he likes to play the puck. Mm-hmm. Not so much, you know, the saves and that sort of thing. It's where do I go when Domingue is behind the net or if he has the puck in front of the goal? Do I need to wait for a pass? Can I move up the ice?
Right.
Those are all the little things that, you know, you do them at practice, but it's hard to duplicate game speed because you just don't go at game speed, even in a hard practice. And remember, it's also been shuffling defensemen around with injuries as well, so they're working on their own chemistry. And all of a sudden, you throw in a goalie you're not used to seeing. That's not easy to do, and I think the Lightning overall have handled it very well.
Yeah, and Cernak has kind of slotted in real nicely into the lineup with Strahlman being out.
Oh, he looks really good. And he's been, you know, he had that brief, that call if he thought was going to be brief, but, you know, he comes mm-hmm. up, he makes an immediate impact. And, I mean, they need him. The defense is, I don't want to use the word thin, but just because Strahlman is out. But, you know, you lose one more player, now you've got some issues. And I think he's come in and shown that he can handle himself at this level. And I think it's one of those performances, you have to say, when Strahlman comes back, now what? I mean, has he done enough to stick? I mean, and who else could, you know, well, who can move down to keep him up? It's really an interesting situation, but he is getting valuable time here at the NHL level, and I think he's going to be a contributor for a while.
Yeah, and we've talked about Ryan McDonagh a couple times this season, but really stood out to me in the Chicago game. Like, and I'm not sure that we've spoken to you since we've brought him on last season in the trade deadline, but what do you think about his contributions he's made? You know, I can't say enough good things about him. And there are a couple things he did in that Chicago game that just kind of blew me away.
Yeah. Well, the play that sticks out to me is the, you know, stealing the puck.
Mm-hmm.
This should have been the empty netter several games ago. And producing a game tying goal that the Lightning wound up winning in overtime. That's right now the moment of the season for me, maybe for the whole team. But I think we're learning. I think we're finally learning who Ryan McDonagh is. You know, he came in at the trade deadline. We were all excited. Took him a little while to get going. You know, remember JT Miller kind of stole the spotlight a little bit after that trade. But, you know, he kills penalties. He really stands at that blue line and keeps the puck from leaving the zone. He plays hard, and he wasn't known as an offensive defenseman, but he can come through. He has a shot on him. That guy can rifle it. So I think it's been a wonderful acquisition. And he even said that, you know, coming out of training camp, that he felt a lot better coming out of an offseason and a training camp with this team. And he's on the right page. He's not scrambling as much like he was when he first got here. And that's when you see a veteran come through and come up with a good performance.
Yeah, I feel like in past seasons it's always been, oh, we need to figure out our defense. We need to shore up our defense. We're a little worried about our defense. And even though it might be a little thin, you know, with guys coming up to fill positions, you know, if guys go down, I really think, and we weren't sure about it last season after the trade deadline and through the end of the season, if we had done that. But I think, like you said, coming out of training camp, him having a camp with the team and an off season, I'm not so worried about our defensive play anymore, where I can just really focus on all the offensive glory that we're having right now. And it's really fun watching this team play.
Yeah. The only concern I have is the pairings.
Right.
And guys who are used to working together. And so once you disrupt that, it's, you know, that can be an issue, not so much at the front, but at the back. And if you know, the other night he put, how many defensemen dressed the other night? Seven?
Yeah, he usually does 12-7.
You're right. So if you get to that seventh person, and even then you're mixing up pairings and trying to get that other guy some ice time. But I just feel like, you know, one injury of a Strahlman level you can sustain, you get another one, then there's a little bit of concern. And that's just purely from a depth standpoint for me. But, I mean, the defense overall right now has really started to click, and it's one of the reasons that it's allowing the offense to get going. And then, you know, here we are. We haven't even hit the holiday season yet. There's a lot of hockey left. But when you do get into the postseason, the first thing people criticize is keeping the puck out of your own net. And that's goaltending and defense. And right now the Lightning are doing very well despite some serious injuries.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break and be back with more Game Misconduct and our guest, Dan Lucas.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hey.
Don't forget, you can follow us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And we are back with our guest from News Channel 8, Dan Lucas, our good friend. All right, so let's talk. We talked about Louis Domingue and the defense in the first segment. And let's talk about the penalty kill, because they made some changes in the offseason to it. They have more, penalty kill groups now, and they were really clicking at the beginning of the season, and now they're kind of in the middle of the pack as far as league ranking for penalty kill. I don't know what to attribute that to. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, I think I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I think in recent games they've taken a lot more penalties.
Mm-hmm.
And penalties that seem to be back to back, and so they're defending the goal a lot for multiple minutes, and they gave up a goal the other night in the penalty kill that was 2 seconds to go in the power play, so they had done a wonderful job, and you're getting ready to transition out of it, and all of a sudden the puck goes the wrong way and it's a goal for the opponent, so those factors are in there for sure. But I know it's interesting. They've got all these great shot blockers like the Ryan Callahans of the world, and it seems to be, you would think that it'll come back to where it should be, and that's near the top of the league because they are a very good penalty kill team. But it has tailed off as of late for sure. I think some of that also might have to do with Domingue trying to get on his feet a little bit and get the speed of the puck. And so I think it all goes hand in hand. I think that it turns around. They're too good. They work on it as much as they can, as much as you can in a practice, even though, again, like I said earlier, you can't do things at full speed in practice.
Yeah.
But, they have it down. It is a good penalty kill. I think it's too good to stay down.
Yeah, and we kind of saw in the Chicago game, they didn't really take any penalties until the third period, and then they ended up taking two kind of on top of each other, and we're working on 3-on-5 for maybe a half a minute or so, and they were able to kill both off, which was a huge momentum shift, because I really thought Chicago was bringing it to us in that last period. That might be kind of some light at the end of the tunnel a little bit.
Yeah, I know, and the stress of not only that scenario, but you have hanging over your head. It was a 3-goal lead, now it's a 2-goal lead, and you give up a 5-on-3. Now you're up a goal, changes everything. And they've had a few games this season. Well, they get into that third period, and you're just trying to keep the foot on the old pedal, as they say. It is not easy to do, and I think when you give up penalties like this late in games, you're inviting the other team to do something instead of closing the door on them. Now, they wound up closing the door, which is fine, mm-hmm. but it's the situations where taking that penalty, even in a 2-goal game, is critical. You're putting yourself into this position where you're having unnecessary stress rather than maybe adding to your own lead.
And I know that they were giving up goals early and playing from behind a lot. Now they're kind of scoring first and playing ahead. But I've always felt personally, like I always felt about the Lightning in the last maybe couple years, obviously not going back 26 years or whatever, that they do have a tendency to take their foot off in the third period. And I think this last maybe week or so, they're kind of still, you know, they'll be a little lull, but then they're like, nope, we're getting back. And, you know, here's the other thing, and it gets talked about, I don't think enough. People are coming in to the Lightning games, other teams, obviously. I mean, not just random people off the street. and knowing that they have to be on. They have to be on. And Jonathan Toews, after the Chicago game, said that. You know, you go into a place where it's a really great team. You have to play 60 minutes. And I think that kind of happens, too. I don't even think, you know, it feels like the Lightning let off a little bit. But I think it's more the other team playing harder to try and steal a point from the Lightning.
Yeah, I agree. And the Lightning, you know, there's a handful of teams in the NHL. Players and fans look at the schedule, see who's coming to town or when their team plays certain teams. And the Lightning are one of those teams you circle. So they're getting, every single night, they're getting the best the game that the opponent has.
Yeah.
It's a big one to get if you beat the Lightning, especially in regulation, and take the full 2 points to zero. And so teams know this. Now, when the Lightning have jumped on opponents, I think there's been a period of shell shock. But I think we're seeing that a lot of NHL teams are just good at grinding. Mm. And that's where the Lightning mentally have to match that grind. They have to get in there and be not play dirty, but do the dirty things, do the hard work. Even if you're just killing clock with a 2 or 3 goal lead, they've got to match that work effort of the other team. And I think sometimes they do that. I don't want to say they accuse them of being lazy, but they do their shift changes sometimes are a little slow.
Mm-hmm.
And it just provides a little window every now and then, mm-hmm. and opportunities for the opponent to do something who's really getting after it, trying to, beat this team.
So, for instance, the Chicago game, we were up 4-2, mostly through the second. For me, sitting in the stands, it looks like we just start playing a defensive game. We're not so worried about scoring. We just want to maintain the lead and the goal differential. What are your thoughts on that? Like, I mean, obviously, if they get a breakaway or whatever, they're going to try to score, but it's not like that's their main game plan. It's more like, let's just lock it down, keep it clean, and make sure they don't put a puck in our net. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think I would love to see the charts with the shifts that Cooper runs once they do have a lead. What do the shifts get shorter, longer, especially for the forwards? But I think what's happening is, the intensity of the opponent steps up.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the Lightning are responding to that energy rather than continuing to press themselves and put the pressure on the other team. You have to be – when you have a lead, one of the big things you're trying to avoid is the rush in the other direction. So mm-hmm. you start to play a little tighter in the neutral zone. And maybe you're not thinking about it, pushing the puck forward as much. You're so concerned about making that bad pass that's going to lead to a 2-on-1 or 2-on-0. Maybe that's the mentality that's mm-hmm. happening. I wouldn't, there's no, the Lightning, trust me, the Lightning aren't, those guys aren't on the ice just thinking about, all right, now we got this one in the bag. They know they have to work. But maybe the mission changes a little bit. When you're trying to protect that lead and you're absorbing the pressure of the other team, because the other team has to step up.
Yeah. So everybody, I think by this time now knows at this point in life that one of John Cooper's mentors, as he even says, is Joel Quenneville, who's no longer, coaching in the NHL. And that's Joel Quenneville coaching 101. It's
maintain the lead.
Just maintain the lead. I'm not trying to get anybody injured. I don't want somebody pulling of him. I don't want, Patrick Kane or Jonathan Toews pulling a hamstring. That's why the defense was so important, for those cup runs of 10 and 13 and 15. And we saw it when, the Lightning played them. That defense meant everything to Chicago. And that's why. It's because you have to expect that other teams, especially when you're, one of the better teams in the league. And the Lightning obviously are one of the best teams in the league for the last how many years. You're going to expect that people are going to throw everything they can at you. And it doesn't make sense to keep that up. It makes sense just to lock it down. And yeah, I mean,
it's a great code. Great coaches, they manage it, don't they?
Yeah, it's just so weird. The 12, you know, dressing seven defensemen is a Quenneville thing. We see Cooper do it. The short 45-second shifts is a Quenneville thing. We see Cooper do it. It's just, you know, it's a copycat league, and coaches, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, there's,
if it worked for Chicago,
and you know what, and they got it from, you know, they got it from Detroit, and you know what I'm saying, it passes it around, and then LA learned from Chicago. I mean, that's just the way it goes. I think that, yeah, I think it's their mentality. I don't know. I've never asked John Cooper. Is it your mentality changes? But it's very consistent that it's lockdown hockey, not trying to, you know,
being aggressive.
Yeah, being aggressive, because at that point when you're up 4-2, you know,
yeah,
it's a game of millimeters, and yeah, it's not worth getting somebody hurt over.
On the flip side of that too, and you're up 4-2, and you have a posture that's kind of like, okay, I need to protect 4-2, and the other team now has to take chances. I think when you are on top of your game, that also lends opportunities for you, because now the team that's taking chances, it's kind of like throwing the football into coverage.
Mm-hmm.
There are opportunities now for steals and a rush for your own gain. So I think that the mentality is there still to have a quick strike, but they are so focused on managing that lead that you know, it's eating up minutes and eating up shifts. In periods, they're so focused on that we feel like they're just sitting back and playing defense the rest of the game. And you know, they have to an extent, but I think they're also waiting for a chance to strike as well. But the dynamic of the game just changes when one team gets a lead over another. That's just the way it is, because, you know, one team's trying to win and they're down, so they've got to start taking some chances.
Right. We're with Dan Lucas from News Channel 8. Dan, so let's talk about the scoring, because there's been quite a lot of it. Kucherov is scoring. Tyler Johnson was a goal away from a hat trick versus Chicago. Braden Point is scoring. Then Ryan Callahan scores in the Chicago game. Like, what do you think these teams... I'm asking you to kind of think like the other teams, but what do you think these teams are thinking when they come into a building and they're like, okay, well, all four lines are capable of scoring, and some nights they do. How the heck are we going to play against these guys when we maybe have one or two really good defensive pairings? No matter who gets the puck on their stick, it could end up in the back of the net. Like, what kind of – that seems quite daunting for teams that are coming in.
I think the scariest thing about the Lightning – picture yourself as the opponent. The Lightning are coming in, and like you said, they put the four lines out there, and you look at the names, and you don't just see youth and speed. You see just skill all the way down. And, you know, you get the Adam Ernies of the world, and then Matthew Josephs, who, you know, who's learning his way through the NHL. And, oh, by the way, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
And you know, so when you're out there on the ice, if you're a defenseman and you're going to go through a couple of rounds of the opponent's forwards, and you see Kucherov leave the ice and Stamkos leave the ice, there is no let up. You don't have 30 seconds of a vacation coming up,
right?
Because now you're going to have a Tyler Johnson is heating up. Coming at you, and Braden Point, who's I think on another team, Braden Point's probably a star.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's a star here because we know him well, and he's earning and he's played great. But I mean, a bona fide number one guy,
mm-hmm,
on some teams in the NHL, Braden Point would be the guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's who's coming in.
Right.
To relieve these others. That's a scary thing to face. They're that talented, top to bottom.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, you talk about, like, you know, Kucherov last year was leading the league, or, you know, him and Ovechkin were back and forth, you know, for leading scorer. And then it was all throughout the offseason, well, how do you stop the Lightning? Got to stop Nikita Kucherov. And I think, you know, he had a little bit of a slow start, and people started, we figured it out. And then Braden Point's like, yeah, hold my beer. Like, because he's the leading scorer in the Lightning. He's one of the top five scorers in the league. And like you said, he would be an absolute Sid Crosby, Patrick Kane, Alex Ovechkin on any other team. And, you know, it allows, I think, Kucherov kind of to, you know, he was never really a goal scorer. He was a passer. And now we're seeing Kucherov back to passing a lot.
Yep.
Which is fine. I mean, that's what, you know, his specialty a little bit. But, I mean, you know, Tyler Johnson's going crazy lately. And like you brought up Joseph, which CT and I a few weeks ago said, once this kid scores, we know once he finally gets it in there, it's going to be this kid can put him in the net. And he is. But it's top to bottom. You know, you have Callahan, you know, not a lot of goals this year. Since he's, you know, come back playing, but, you know, he's scoring. We got, you know, I think Miller's still a very good forward. It's all four lines. And that's, I don't know if there's another team in the league that can make that same boast there.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, you mentioned Kucherov, the passer. I feel so comfortable watching games when I see him over there on the other side of that right circle.
Mm-hmm.
And with the puck in his hand, mm-hmm. his stick, because he has the skill to make the move and move towards the net. But if you watch him, he sees the entire zone, and he's going to make a pass that's going to create something,
right?
And be that a one timer or make a pass, be ready for the pass right away to come back to him for his shot. But they're artists, the best of the best. And, even Steven Stamkos the other night in the Florida game, right, where he went back and forth with Yanni Gourde.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We forgot. Yanni Gourde, too.
Yeah, I forgot about him.
Yeah. So Gourde makes the pass to Stamkos. And the puck was I think the puck was kind of on his side a little bit.
Right.
But he still had the option to, shoot the puck. And he's right in front of Luongo. And he opted to make the pass back to Gourde for the tap in. That's artistry.
Mm-hmm.
That's great stuff.
Yeah, when you walk into the Lightning store and you've got a wall full of player shirts, normally teams like they'll have their
one,
top
two,
three,
yeah.
their goaltender, a forward, and their star defenseman, and that's it. They've got a wall full of player shirts because
exactly.
You can't just pick one.
Yeah,
it's like, can I buy five and get one free? Because there are that many that I wouldn't mind having on wearing on my back because they're that good.
Sometimes when you go to games, you're looking at jerseys. And you look at some of the numbers and you think, why in the world would you buy that player's jersey?
Right.
I mean, what are you? Are you that much of a fan? Good for you. And then you look at this team. You pick a jersey. It's anything you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. You know, you walk around that arena. All I see is you see 91, 77, 24, 86. I mean, it just goes on and on. They're all good players to pick. We're spoiled.
We are very.
Honestly, we are spoiled. This is a good era, and we nitpick on a loss or things that aren't working out, and we have to remind ourselves. Oh, by the way, this is one of the elite teams. If you're following a bottom team, man, it's just. How do you dig out of the hole? It's unbelievable how spoiled we are here.
And on that note, I really want to get your opinion on this. We were talking about it off the air, CT and I. I feel, and I said, I can't wait to ask Lucas about this. I really feel like this is the most complete team. I know they made it to, we know how many times they've been to the conference final. We know all that. But this is the first time I feel like it's a very calm. I'm very calm about this team. It's not like a panicky or an excited, like an anxious or anything. I really just feel that it's just so even and it's just so talented top to bottom. I know the defense was always a little, you know, concerning, I think, to most people, and that's fine. But you still have, you know, Stroman when he's, you know, not currently, but up until here playing at I think a high level. I think it's an absolute disservice that he doesn't get spoken about more nationally for what a wonderful and solid defenseman he is. But honestly, like, top to bottom, we're looking at a backup goalie that, you know, who's stepped in and playing really, really, really well right now. I don't have a lot of concerns about this team. And I know it's very early to say it. We're only a quarter of the way of the
through. Don't do
through.
It. Don't do it.
But I mean, if there's ever been a team that I think like that, this is it. They're not missing anything. It's this team. Come June.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's easy to think that, you know, times are good. And, you know, we all know it's fleeting. It can turn in a heartbeat. But,
yeah.
But I think what this team has shown, and it's been over the years now, is the ability to take a loss and figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
and not let things linger. And to your point, where the team feels complete, I think if there's one area of the game that is struggling, another one picks it up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like right now, we've discussed the penalty kill, you know, could be a little bit better. Well, you know what? Other areas are going to pick that up. And before you know it, they're going to have a long streak of, you know, penalties that didn't cost them. That's what they're doing right now. They're being consistent.
And yeah.
They have to be. They have to be because, you know, as great as the record is, and they're in the handful of teams that are considered elite, they're in, I would argue, the wackiest division right now, and the room for error is not great because you have so many teams kind of packed up there near the top that 2 to 3 losses in a row could find you outside of the top three,
right?
At any point of the season. So that's something they've got to keep up with that. And remember, like we mentioned, they are the target.
Mm-hmm.
When they roll under your rank, everybody wants to beat the Lightning. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun when you're that type of opponent, but that is stress and pressure, and that's hard to do.
And one of those teams breathing down the Lightning's neck is, I can't believe I'm about to say this, the Buffalo Sabres. I feel like I might have hit my head, and it's like Freaky Friday around here. But the Buffalo Sabres, they are a scary team coming into town next week. It's going to be an interesting game, I have a feeling.
Yeah, well, and the Lightning owe them one. And, mm-hmm. you know, that I think, you know, every year you get that team that's, you know, young, which the Sabres have a ton of youth, but they've got experience as well with Poso and that. But it just starts clicking, and the system kicks in, and everybody buys in, and before you know it, you're playing well. I mean, last year for a while it was the Florida Panthers,
mm-hmm.
who were that team, and now they're going through some injury issues. But I think Buffalo is fun to watch. The game against the Lightning, it looked like a different team, but you glance at the scores and glance at the standings, they are competitive, and right now I don't see any signs of a let up from them. I think the only unproven factor right now is the goaltending, and Hutton, who's been playing very well. He was great against the Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy that people want to see if he can sustain, and so I think that's something to watch as the season goes on. But we were in November, and when you're hanging around and entering December, I always feel that teams start to separate themselves mm-hmm. a little bit for that second half of the season. And I just think Buffalo is going to hang around.
Yeah. I've been saying it since the season started. Toronto's finally come together, kind of one of those things that you said, you know, they're a young team, you know, when you were talking about it, it just finally clicks. And I said, I think Toronto, this is the year that it all clicks for them. They, mm-hmm. All this suffering that they went through finally comes together, and they're another team. You know, the Lightning, Buffalo, and Toronto, all three of those guys are just really, really good. And I'm interested to see, because we will see Buffalo, we will see Toronto, because they're in our division. So we see them a little more often. And I think anytime we see Buffalo or Toronto this year, they're going to be good games.
I agree. And we haven't even mentioned Boston.
We don't do that on this show.
I would say of the four right now, if you threw Boston in that group, Boston would be the fourth team in that group right now.
I really don't want to go back to Boston for a playoff game. I really don't.
But that team is also has the ability to dig itself out of a bit of a rut and get on a roll too. But I mean, Mike Babcock in Toronto has just, I mean, it started with culture change and a mentality. And I mean, the other night they came out absolutely awful against Carolina, I think it was. And the Hurricanes had 28, 29 shots in the first period, which is near the record for a period. And then you can imagine Babcock in the locker room.
Oh, yeah.
And so the next period, they had two.
That's insane.
Two shots. So, you know, that's. If you think Toronto's going to come out there and have a lackadaisical night altogether, that's not happening. So
no.
That's what the Lightning are trying to keep up with mentality-wise.
All right. Well, Dan, we've taken up enough of your time, but thank you so much for joining us. Please remind everybody where they can find you on social media and all your comments.
Yes, at WFLA Dan on Twitter and also on Instagram. And so I will be... I tweet about everything, all the teams, Lightning, Bucks, Rays, USF, you name it. We do it all. But this is the time of year where, you know, football starts to wind down a little bit, and then you get through the January. And it's for me, I love the chase, the playoff chase, and then getting into the playoffs. It's so much fun in the springtime. So jump aboard, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun nights in Amalie.
Yeah, and don't forget, you can check out his wonderful...
Bucks Extra.
Yep. When you're like, football's starting to wind down, let's be honest, it winded down a couple weeks ago, at least here locally. But you can find all of his sports reports, too, on News Channel 8. I always catch you at the 11 o'clock, but you're on, you know, all the early evening broadcasts as well.
You're like me. You're a night owl.
I got to see my Dan Lucas before I go to bed, you know? Before I go to sleep, I got to get my sports report from Dan. So,
there you go.
All right, thanks.
Exactly.
Thanks for joining us, Dan. We'll catch you at the rink. All right, we're going to take a quick break and be back with more Game Misconduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hey.
So Dan Lucas, our guest in the first and second segment, brought up a lot of good things, how it's kind of like when you play so well, what can you nitpick? Well, you can't really nitpick that much. We try to find something.
Yeah, I mean, we try to talk about the penalty kill a little bit.
Right.
But he, you know, he has another good point too, is they weren't killing a lot of, they weren't getting a lot of penalties
right.
earlier. Now they're starting to kind
of get a little extras.
It happens. You know, you start settling a little bit, and then some things, you know, get let go a little bit.
They're right.
not playing as disciplined at times. So, you know,
but that's something they can fix.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. You just get back to how, you know, was. And I think that the third period of
the
Chicago game really kind of probably gave them a little bit of that mojo back.
Right.
You know, but it's kind of weird to like look at the, you know, the stats and everything like that on the NHL and like, you know, the Arizona Coyotes are like in the 90% of penalty kill right now.
Wow.
And it's like, what? How did you people show up in anything? But good for them.
It's the dichotomy of the league, as they like to say.
It is. It is. And you know, we were talking about it is December is always the month. It's like it's hockey's kind of... You know who you are. You know who you are as a team is now, you know,
solidified.
And it's a good turning point. Not turning point, but it's a good
litmus test.
Yeah, litmus test. And when you look at I hate to do this, but when you look at the Lightning schedule, it gets a little scary in December.
Yeah.
But you know what?
I'm not too excited about December.
No,
I feel like I'm going to need to up my medication.
But you know what? Anything can happen. Colorado can fall off. Boston can fall off. Toronto could fall off. I mean, all these other teams. you know, it may be the beginning of December hits and their true colors show, and they're not, you know, who we thought they were.
True.
Is
or not.
Or not. I mean, we don't know, but it's December is definitely going to be a very nerve-wracking month.
For sure.
For sure.
I mean, anytime we walk into a building or anytime the Lightning skate onto an opponent's ice in their building, you're never sure of anything.
No, you're not.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I still believe that this team's solid enough.
The most complete you've seen in five, 6 years.
A very long time. I mean, think about here where we are. Dan said we're spoiled. We've said it before as well. But, you know, Cernak comes down from...
Comes up.
Yeah. Well, I was saying like flies down from Syracuse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Comes up from Syracuse, flies down. And it wasn't like, uh-oh. It was like, oh, okay.
New guy in the lineup.
New defenseman coming from Syracuse for a minute. And he plays so well. And we don't have that. And that's where we're at, if you're a Lightning fan. That it's not just the forwards who are going to come and score and do all these crazy, or, you know, the rookies and the youngsters. It's defensemen too, and it's the goalies. And, you know, we feel like we are have a crystal ball sometimes here at Game of Misconduct. I can't think of anything else to say.
Okay, Miss Cleo.
Yeah, we have no Miss Cleo things.
I mean, it just makes me nervous.
Why?
That we're playing so complete and so well. It's just, I feel like I'm always just waiting for the bottom to drop out.
Oh, no. Don't feel that way.
No.
Oh, no. Don't feel like that.
But, you know.
They seem calm,
you know,
when they play.
Victor Hedman was out for an extended period of time.
Yep.
Anton Strahlman's been out for a little while. You know, we didn't start the season with Ryan McDonough. Now, Andrei Vasilevsky is out. But we've seemed to have rise to the occasion.
Mm-hmm.
The team, has risen to the occasion to where I'm not freaking out when I walk
right
into the rink and wondering if we're going to win this game. It's more like, we're going to win this game, but by how much? You know, is it going to be a 7-3 route like we had versus the Florida Panthers, or is it going to be a little tighter of a game, 4-2 versus
Chicago
yeah, where, you know, they pull their goaltender with little more than 2 minutes and 30 seconds left and they can tie it up because they've got that good of snipers on their team. Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, which... They're fast. They're still fast.
Yeah, they are. They're not little kids anymore.
They're not.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still scary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Oh, boy.
A little bit of a, you know, not a good time to be a Blackhawk fan, of course. And Lightning gets benefit a little bit from that. But they have such a great record since the Stanley Cup final against. I think they've, like, won just about every game they face.
That's crazy.
Definitely here. So, I mean, it is what it is. But, you know, I feel that they're playing calmer.
Yeah. You're
it's
right.
Like they have a little bit more confidence, and it's a quiet, like calm poise to them.
And it's almost like if the other team scores on them, they go out the next shift or the shift after, and they know they're going to get that goal back.
Mm-hmm.
Which
it's not a desperation. There were times in the past where you felt they were playing desperation hockey. Ah,
mm-hmm.
And it doesn't feel like that. It feels like it's just like, okay, that's fine.
We'll figure it
out.
Watch
what we can do.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we can do that too.
And
we can do that a lot.
And which one of the four lines is going to do it?
It's like they're playing rock, paper, scissors. Who wants the goal?
Right.
You. So, I mean, it's just a calm. I've always felt, as much as I adore watching Tyler Johnson, because I think he's so much fun to watch play hockey, I feel like he has a calmness to him now.
Yeah.
And well, I like that.
They've settled in.
They're very settled. And I think you look, and there are young
guys. And no
guys.
Matter what John Cooper does with the lines, whoever ends up playing with whoever.
They're just fine with it. And we don't have a lot of turnover year to year.
Right.
Which is huge.
Right.
But you also have guys that are a little older, you know, Callahan and the Strawmans. And then you have the guys that are right in the sweet spot with the Stamkos and the Hedman. And then you know, the Kucherovs and the Johnsons now.
And then
you have the younger guys like Sergachev and Point and Joseph.
Who just seem to slide in
and it's such,
effortlessly.
Yeah, it's not just the balance of the... It's the age. It's the maturity level. Mm-hmm. It's the veteranship. Is that a thing?
You just made it.
It a thing. It's just such a calming...
Right.
Like a cool and collected type of feel. Yeah.
And the bench seems much calmer as well. Yeah. Like the coaching staff, mm-hmm. calm, you know, Julian Brisebois. There could have been a lot of uncertainty when Steve Yzerman announced that he was going to be
stepping aside
a little bit. Julian Brisebois taking over. Even though he's been part of the organization forever, there could have been a little, you know, wavering mm-hmm. or whatever. But just everything, just even keeled. You're right.
Yeah.
So I need to be a little more even keeled.
It's almost like they feel like we should have done it last year because it was the 20, you know,
yeah.
anniversary and the All-Star game and all this hoopla.
All the stars aligned.
Yeah. And you almost feel like now it's like, you know what? We're going to do it now.
Yeah.
Like, no more of this bridesmaid. We're done.
Always the bridesmaid, never the
yeah,
bride.
Yeah, like, no, we're done with this.
Right.
It's not like a salty chip on the shoulder or a chippy, nasty little, you know. It's mostly like
which I feel they had a little bit last year because they were out of the playoffs by one point.
Yeah, the year before. And it was a little chip.
This year, I feel like it's
just like, we're just going to do it.
Well, they're masters of their own destiny this year.
And I think they learned that last year.
Right.
And so I feel like this year it's just like a very calm confidence they have. Like, listen, we're done. We're done being the bridesmaid. We're going to win this thing. I feel like they have confidence in each other.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah.
That's okay. Here's hoping.
Psychology. Hockey psychology. Yeah. With no license.
No, yeah. We are not licensed psychologists. Whatsoever.
I'm just saying that's how it feels.
No, you're right. You know, I feel that in the arena with the fans as well. Maybe not so much me, but with the fans that surround me. I mean, there were a lot of red jerseys for the Chicago game in the house. I feel like more than any other road team this season so far, which means they travel whether or not their team is any good or not.
No, because they're not very good.
They're going through their growing pains. But
having some problems.
But I feel like even the fans, normally it would have been very contentious.
Mm-hmm.
Lightning fans yelling at Chicago fans and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really see much of that.
No.
Maybe because we were up 4-1 after the first or second or whatever it was. But yeah, I mean.
I just think we just feel like, you know what? It's time.
It's our time. It's our time.
I think so.
I hope we're still saying this come March.
Oh, yeah. Well, one of the good things that I like that they've done, and if you, a few years ago when they did miss the playoffs, was because they dug themselves in such a hole, if you remember, in the beginning of the year, that they just could not. I mean, they went on stretches where they were winning, but they were so out, you know, so far back, they just couldn't do it. And it was rely on everybody else. And we had to, you know, I remember that so clearly being at the arena that night. And it was,
we won the game. But we won't know until this other game ends if we're in the playoffs.
And we didn't know until 10:37 at night.
It's got to be the worst feeling ever.
Was just hanging out. Everybody in media was just hanging out, waiting. What are we?
Are we making the playoffs or not?
Are we not? And we didn't. And it stinks doing that. And so
it stunk for us as fans and media people.
Yeah.
Just imagine how much that burned.
Yeah. So they got out to a hot start last year. And they built a big thing, and it was like, hey, if we go, you know, have a little bit of a lull in our ebbs and flows of the, you know, the game, and that's what happens. It wasn't a big deal.
Right.
Because they were still, you know, doing it. And I like that they're still doing that. And they're still the winningest team in the East.
All right. So masters of our own destiny.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's keep going with that.
I like it.
All right. So we're going to go for this week and come back next week with a brand new episode of Game Misconduct, you know, in between our holiday shopping because it's that time of year. Yep. Like I said, you know, lots of player shirts and jerseys to choose from for your family members. You can find out which one is their favorite. And if they're like, oh, they're all my favorite, then hopefully there's a buy one, get five free or something at the arena. And maybe a hat trick. Coming up before Christmas so we can all buy hats at 50% off or whatever.
I feel like Tyler Johnson's going to do it again.
I was like, come on, Tyler, one more. I need to buy a hat for my brother for Christmas. All right, so we'll be back next week with more Game Misconduct. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. Thanks so much, and we'll catch you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.